No, this is exciting. We are thrilled to be here, and of course, Rick and Sherry are dear to our hearts. It's been exciting to see what God breathed into their lives and what happened along the journey of co-laboring and ministry together till him being full-time here. We've got some great mission stories to tell you about, especially from Mexico. But 30 years ago, Graver Ministries was birthed, but it wasn't till the 1990s that Liberia became a primary ministry within Graver Ministries, and within that ministry, the ministry with orphans is one of the prime things that we've helped with along the way, different orphanages. And because of the Ebola crisis then, we ended up with an extra large number of orphans. And so tragic kind of happened along the way, but this is us. That was at the school that we were at. Let's see if this works here. I'm not very techie, but hopefully you guys are. That's me outside the school, and aim it back there, right? Right, left, there you go. This is us, Liberia, West Africa, coming up the coastline. It's equatorial, it's 6 degrees from the equator, so it's hot and muggy. Next, please, if this doesn't work. This is Sino. This is a region where we're going to be talking about this morning, and the 41 orphans in particular, although there are many, many orphans throughout the country, but the 41 we're going to be talking about this morning is towards the south. Next, please. Greenville is a city that's close there where the orphanage is, where our second Graver Ministries Academy is birthed at, where these orphans are at. Next, please. This is the outside of the building you just saw in the video, and this is actually a church building, and you see the metal buildings along the back there. Next slide, please. You'll see this is some of the inside again. You just saw where the kids, where they were gathered in their uniforms and everything. Next, please. He was doing a presentation. They were memorizing scripture, and he's also doing a reading, so he was actually sharing with this funny hat as he talked. Next, one of the students. Look at this building. Imagine, they call tin zinc there, okay? And so imagine equatorial weather in a tin shed. So the additional classrooms, as a school grew, they built more classrooms, i.e. they tacked on tin and wood to the side of the church building. Next, please. So we gave them some supplies and some candy and things. That's what one of the classrooms looks like, still using chalkboards. Next, please. Here we are again, doing a look with the kids, time with the kids. Next, please. Is that it? That's it. That's us. Okay, good. That's why Rick didn't really trust me with this, because I don't do very well with him. All right, well, let's pray together, and let's see what God says to us this morning about orphans. Love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being here in the room with us. We bless you and worship you. Thank you for this open door of opportunity you've given us to share your story. God, we pray your anointing and blessing as we look into your word, as we reflect on this time, that you'd be honored and glorified. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. First of all, what's that round thing on the back of your sanctuary? It's round and it's got numbers. What's that? Oh, we don't have one of those in our sanctuary. So whatever. Anyway, back in 1992, I started getting collect phone calls from Henry Peabody in Liberia, West Africa. Number one is I didn't know Henry Peabody. Number two, I'm from Western Kansas, a dry land wheat farm. I didn't know anybody in West Africa. I didn't know hardly anybody. And one day as I walked into the courtyard there at Ark City at the church where I was pastoring at the time, the secretary's going, "That Henry Peabody's on the line. Do you want to take it this time?" Because every call was collect. And so I said, "Let me see what this is." And so I took the call, and he said, "I'm Henry Peabody. I'm a Liberian. I've been separated from my family because of the civil war that's going on there. And I am in Ghana in a refugee camp by the name of Buda Burum. I'm having a rash and problems. The United Nations rations have gotten down to 6 cups of rice and 3 cups of oil per person per month. And things are not good here. And so I'm just calling for help." I said, "Well, how did you get my number?" He said, "Well, two of my friends, the three of us, went to the Martin Luther King Jr. Liberia in Accra, the capital of Liberia, and we found a directory of churches in the United States. And each of us took one phone number and started calling it collect. And I got your number." Now, I don't know what you think about that, but think of the mathematical odds of that happening. in the first place. And so from that phone call, you know, well, I don't know anything. So we decide, is this a scam or what? So I talked to Peggy, my wife, who's right back here. And we pray about it, and we decide, you know, we don't want to risk any of the church's money. We're just gonna try and take a chance here, and we're going to put a package together, some medicines and a shirt, and sneak some money in it and see what we can do to help out. And sure enough, he got that package. It was a miracle. And we began to have conversations. So that was September 24th of 1992. We started going into Liberia during the Civil War, which was its own adventure. It's my first and only, and hopefully ever time, to have a machine gun aimed at me about 8 inches from my rib cage. That was exciting. And so God protected, God's provided, God's led. We got really involved in lots of different ministries, helping the country to rebuild medical clinics and schools and those things, and the two academies were started. And then we got involved with OMS and First Baptist Church and Graver Ministries, the three of us triangled together, and began church planting in Liberia. We got up to 238 churches, and we'd planted 238 churches, and then this thing, thing called the Ebola virus hit, and we lost 33 churches. A lot of death. One family lost 15 members of the same family. So think of your family, children, brothers, sisters, 15 of you, one family, gone. And so they quarantined that city and that village. And I got a chance to go there where the quarantine was lifted when I went back in January to follow up and see what had happened. It's very interesting hugging people who lost loved ones to the Ebola virus. It's interesting being by and near the buildings where people were housed and quarantined for the Ebola virus. It's a terrible, terrible, brutal disease. And inclusive in that, in what we looked at today, this area in Sino in the south, a more isolated area where the Graver Ministries Academy is, what happened is this year when the school started, they realized they had 41 orphans. So imagine if somebody came in and say, we have 41 orphans, how many of you will take an orphan? How many of you will take this child into your home right now? No questions asked. So when we talk about support, that there's an initial gift of getting school and these kids into the schools and uniforms and food at the school and things, but the $50 a month is for food and clothing and medicines and the basic needs of life that are entrusted to a family who has taken one of these children. So that's what that's all about. It's rather than building an orphanage and having all the maintenance to do, families are opening their hearts and their homes. And when a lot of those families average about $5.70 a day income, it makes it pretty tough to bring another child into your home. So it's an astounding thing. So that's what we've been about. And this Orphan Sunday, we're thankful that we get to celebrate it with you. And as we look in the scripture, here's some things we want to talk about. As you look at the word orphans, you see it four times, twice in the Old Testament, twice in the New Testament. Lamentations 5:3 says, we have become orphans and waifs. Our mothers are like widows. We have become orphans and waifs. We have become helpless, abandoned, neglected children. And we can tell you stories of what happened in neglect from the Civil War and the terrible brutalities that happened there. But this morning with these orphans, he says, this is how we have become. There's this reality that as he's crying out, this sadness that's happened because Jerusalem and Israel has been taken away into the Babylonian captivity, he says, we have become like orphans. We've become like those who have been without parents and rejected and neglected. And Malachi, including in God's judgment after the Jews returned to Israel, after this 586 Babylonian captivity, and the Jews come back into Jerusalem and to Israel, and they start rebuilding, and there's renewal and revival, then there becomes spiritual decline. So they're all back, and things are great, and then the decline begins to happen. And in the midst of that decline, here's what we hear in Malachi chapter 3. Verses 5 and 6, I will come near you for judgment, and I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and the fatherless or orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. So he says, here's this spiritual revival has happened, and now it's begun to dissipate, and we begin to see that people have backslidden, and they've moved away from the care of orphans. They've moved away from truth. They've moved away from purity in their relationships. They've moved away from God and all these things. And Ryrie says they've become mechanical in the observance of the law. They've become lax in their worship. They've become delinquent in their tithing. And they have begun to exploit the orphans. And orphans are a great target for those who want to exploit. Those who want to get people into human trafficking and into slavery and into those immoral acts that they draw them into. Orphans are, unfortunately, a great target. And so even here he's saying they are those who are, in fact, the ones who are being exploited. Then in John chapter 14, verse 18. We don't have these up here, do you? You got your Bibles today? You're going to have to look them up. John 14 and verse 18. In the giving of the Holy Spirit. Actually, the word is in the original language, orphanos. It's a transliteration. Orphanos in the Greek. Orphans. All right? He says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you, Jesus says. In the giving of the indwelling Spirit, Jesus says, when I go away to be with the Father, it's not that I'm going to leave you as spiritual orphans. I will send you another. I will give you another Spirit. In the sending of the Spirit, he is going to make sure that they are covered. He says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And he comes to them in the person of the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's important that people know that they are remembered. And when the Civil War, Liberia had 14 years of Civil War. It began in Christmas Eve of 1989. When the rebuilding began to happen, when the nations began to rally and to begin to help them, all of the assistance was directed toward the cities, towards Monrovia, the capital, and places like that. Now, how many of you know that Liberia is really the place where freed slaves from America were sent back to Africa? See, that's how they got there. So we have the tribal people of Liberia, and we have the freed slaves from America who were sent back in there. So there's always been clash. That's why things end up like civil wars, tragic things like that. And so here's the tragedy of all these things kind of happening along the way. Well, when the Civil War kind of clears after 14 years and things start getting stable and better, the assistance comes into the city. And when we start going out into the jungle area, guess what the rural people were saying? We're forgotten. We're the forgotten people of Africa. We're the forgotten people of Liberia. And I said, no, you're not. If you were forgotten, we wouldn't be here. We're here, so you're not forgotten. And remember, you're never forgotten, because when Jesus died on the cross, he died for you. You are not forgotten on the cross. Wow. Brother shared out of James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. James 1, 27. Remember the widows. Remember the orphans. All right? And in this context, he uses the same word of orphan, orphanus. And it's in the context of being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. That's what James is talking about here. And in the midst of that context, he says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. This is actually National Adoption Month. I don't know if anybody knew that one either. But this is considered National Adoption Month. And it's kind of neat because it's talking, of course, adoption talks about not just caring for them like we would if you adopt a student, but actually inviting them into your homes. And I thought it was kind of cool because I was noticing some of the focus on the family things were highlighting Adoption Month this year. Focus on the family, great ministry. Scott Hamilton, the great Olympic champion, was adopted.
There's a quote in there from Pastor John Piper. He said, "The gospel is not a picture of adoption. Adoption is a picture of the gospel." And then Jimmy Wayne gives a country western singer. Anybody know Jimmy Wayne, the country western singer? Yep, we have one. Bless you. All right. No country western singer remarks this morning. Anyway, his book is Walk to Beautiful, and it tells his story as an adopted young man and what God had breathed into his life, and just a beautiful, beautiful story. So this is a time. Now, as we look at this thing in James 1:27, this is not just talking about God being pro-widows and God being pro-orphans. It's not the only place that talks about this. In Psalm 68, verse 5, it says, "A father of the fatherless, a defender of the widows, God is God in his holy habitation." It's what God's about. It's a reflection of his holiness. In Isaiah 1:17, he says, "Learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow." In Jeremiah 22:3, he says, "Thus says the Lord, execute judgment and righteousness and deliver the plundered out of the hand of the oppressor. Do no wrong and do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, or the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place." In Zechariah 7:10, another reference to the fatherless, all four of these are in the Old Testament, he says, "Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of your plan evil in his heart against his brother." So we have this reality in Scripture, though, a very deep and beautiful and powerful thing. And that is that we're not only to care for earthly orphans, to supply their needs, not only the adoption of orphans and bringing them into our families, but the Scripture also speaks of a spiritual adoption. Weos, sonship, not just orphanus. If you join me in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 15, he says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified with him." This whole thing of spiritual adoption. First of all, he says, you've not received a spirit of bondage. Which means what? We've received a spirit of liberty. All right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty, freedom, according to the Scripture. The second thing he says is, this is not a spirit of fear. And Paul says that to Timothy. You've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We also know here it's in the giving of the Spirit they receive the Holy Spirit. We are now adopted into God's family. We are brought into his family. It is when the Spirit of God rebirths us and indwells us, not a spirit of bondage, a spirit of liberty, not a spirit of fear. When that transpires, bam! We are now in a relationship where we can say to the eternal God of the entire creation, the God who has eternally pre-existed, who forever will exist, the God who has made all things by the power of his word, the God who spoke to nothingness, and bam, shizukum, it came into substance. This God, this incredible, holy, holy God, now you are in a relationship where you cry out to him, "Oh, Daddy, oh, Daddy." Wow. Back on our table, there's a handout I love to give to people. I don't know if I brought one up here with me, but it's entitled evidences. There are 15 evidences that I found in the scripture of being a believer. 15 evidences that help you to see that you, when you examine your life before God, that you really are a son or daughter of the living God. And so you can get one of those evidences sheet. But that's one of them, is the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Look at this later in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 22. He says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with pains, and together until now. And not only they, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." So it's not only that the Spirit has come in, and he says, verse 16, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God." There's not only this internal testimony, this internal witness that happens that says you're a son or daughter of the living God. I pray you've heard that internal testimony, God saying you're my child, and that you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You get equal inheritance with the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says you're still waiting for that to become reality. And just like the whole earth groans and travails, earthquakes, increasing in frequency and intensity, all the degeneration that's happening in the world, not only spiritually, but just the whole earth beginning to vibrate and getting ready for this. He says, you are looking forward to this like all of creation is, like the first fruits of the Spirit. We are groaning and we can't wait for God to get here. We can't wait for the adoption to have its fulfillment. The paperwork's already done. We already have our new daddy. But one of these days, we're going to actually get to move into his house. Can't wait. How about you? Can't wait. How about you? I say, I can't wait. How about you? I thought so. So we have the culmination then of this spiritual adoption when we get to go to that mansion that he's prepared for us. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. He says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father." Just like we read in Romans 8:15. "Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." What a powerful thing that we have now. Just as Paul said that to the Romans, he echoes it once again that this really did transpire, and it happened through the powerful work of Jesus Christ. In the fullness of time, in the very best time, in all of the existence of mankind, for the very best time for God to become a man, for the incarnation, he knew when that was. And in the fullness of time, the best time, not only the chronos, the clock, the time frame, but the kairos, the quality of time, the best time ever for God to become man, it happened in Jesus Christ. And what he brings to us is the reality of becoming children of God, joint heirs, so that we might know the reality of this benefit of the spiritual birth and rebirth. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now, there's a whole lifetime to celebrate right now. God's already blessed you with every spiritual blessing you're ever going to get in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But he goes on, "just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved." God has predestined us to become children of God. He's predetermined that his will is that we would be transformed into the image of Christ. God determined from the beginning of the world, when he made that arrangement, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, you've read that before. It was no accident Jesus died on the cross. This is a provision he made for us from the foundation of the world, even back then, even before we were substance in our mother's womb, which he knew us already.
He determined it. He wanted us to be his children. Not everybody responds to that, do they? How many of you have had your child obey you 100% of the time? Can I see your hand? I mean, I want to applaud you. I want to fall at your knees if that's, you know, okay. What about what you've willed for your child, what you've determined you want him, not only in action, but maybe in life and in choices and those things? Yeah, it doesn't always happen that way, does it? God's wanted that to happen in our lives. He wanted it to happen to everybody's life because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, hello, whosoever believes in him will not perish. Have ever now. This morning I want you to make sure that you have been born again, that you have been rebirthed, that you have come into God's family, that you have that inner testimony of God the Holy Spirit that says, you're my son, you're my daughter. I want you to be absolutely sure that you have realized the truth and the moment and the reality is what God said in his word, that you have become a son or daughter of the living God. If you haven't, I want to introduce him to you so you can know for sure. That's one of the promises. These things are written that you may know that you have everlasting eternal life. Secondly, I want to challenge you who know that for sure to share the gospel, to use all the resources that you have available to you, including your own mouth. To minister to those who need spiritually to become children of God. First of all, I want to challenge you to be a witness, to speak truth and life and minister to those who spiritually are not in touch with God. Those spiritual orphans who have not come into a personal saving relationship with Jesus Christ, those spiritual orphans who need rebirthed, who need God the Holy Spirit to move in and help them to be, in reality, a son or daughter of the living God. And I want to challenge you to use your financial resources and your prayer resources and your ministry resources to touch the lives of orphans, physical orphans as well. That's what this Sunday is all about, if I understood it right. So I want to challenge you for spiritual orphanages as well as earthly orphanages. I read a story one time of a very small town. Of course, I grew up in a town of 1,200, which is now about 900. Our whole county only had 2,500 people in it. We were the county seat. Smaller town than that. And there was a boy and his mom who lived there. And this boy had no clue who his earthly dad was. And over the years, he got a lot of harassing, a lot of verbal abuse, a lot of unkind things said. But one day he was invited to come into church. And when he got into church, he heard the gospel. He heard the good news. He heard that God loved him, that Jesus died on the cross for him, and that he could have eternal life through Jesus Christ, and he wanted that so badly. And so when the pastor said, come forward so that you might receive Christ and be sure about your eternity, when the music started, he got up and he came down front. And the pastor led him to Christ. And then when the music stopped and the pastor had his arm around him, the pastor said, I want to tell everybody whose son this is. And for a moment, that boy's heart went to his toes because he thought he was going to announce who his earthly daddy was in front of God and all these people. And he said, this is God's son. I would like to know that anybody in here I walked up and I put my arm around, I could say in confidence,
this is a son of God. This is a daughter of the living God. If you don't know that that's your heritage, you don't know that God's your father and that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ, and I want you to come forward when we have our song here at the end, and let's pray together, let's talk about it, or talk to one of your pastors or somebody else, but don't leave out here being a spiritual orphan. Don't leave here without being able to cry out to the God of the universe, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. And secondly, I want to challenge you to minister to orphans, spiritual orphans, earthly orphans. To share the gospel with those spiritual orphans who need Jesus and who need to become a son or daughter of the living God. And to share your resources with the orphans around the world, here and around the world, who need your help. Let's pray. Love you, Jesus. Bless you. Worship you. Thank you for your presence. Pray, Lord, your anointing and blessing on this response time that you bring us to yourself. Holy Spirit, that you speak words of life to each one. For those who need to know you, who right now realize that they are spiritual orphans, they are without you. They don't have Christ in them. Holy Spirit has not rebirthed them in the kingdom. They are not a son or daughter of the living God. Lord, that you'd bring them today, that we could introduce them to you. And Lord, that you would speak to our hearts about other commitments we need to make about witnessing the spiritual orphans, reaching out to the lost, and helping with the earthly orphans. Lord, we pray your anointing and blessing on this time. Bring us to yourself, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.